I think everybody knows the kind of the story of Ben Franklin wanted the wild turkey as our national symbol, and not necessarily the bald eagle. And kind of what happened was he was writing a letter to, I believe, a cousin or a niece of some sort, and was just saying that he did not like the eagle as our national symbol because he didn't like it because it was a scavenger, would often eat, back then, wagon kill. And then also he didn't like it because it often will steal from other birds like osprey, and he didn't want that to represent our country. So he felt the turkey, because of a symbolism of Thanksgiving, and it's the males have red, white, and blue colors during the breeding season, that that might be a more appropriate option.
So the bald eagle was chosen. How much do you know about the history of the bald eagle as far as being our national bird and anything around that?
Well, as nations are being developed and formed, you know, of course, they want strong symbols. There was a big debate. I believe it was the Secretary of State that had recommended the bald eagle because it was a North American endemic, which means it's found only really in North America. Of course, it's got a strong symbolism behind it. And I guess the Founding Fathers decided that was what seemed to be the best.
Well, November is National Bald Eagle Month. So what at Land Between the Lakes are you doing to celebrate this month?
Well, you know, we're just trying to, you know, so many people come throughout the season, the year, trying to figure out where they can go see bald eagles. And oddly enough, during the summer months is one of the tougher times to see eagles because the leaves are on the trees. There's not as many down here. They're all nesting, the ones that are here. So winter, which is not always the best for us, is one of the best wildlife viewing seasons that you're going to find in Land Between the Lakes. You know, a lot of wildlife will migrate down to Land Between the Lakes, like the pelicans a lot of people see, a lot of the waterfowl. Well, a lot of the eagles will come down too. And this November is typically the time period that those eagles are going to move into our area, flying down that Mississippi flyway, hitting Land Between the Lakes, because we are one of the first bodies of water that stays open all year round. And so one of the things that we're doing at the Wilderness Nature Station is we'll start our eagle tours towards the end of November. Those are the van tours, and later evolves into our boat tours in January. But we hold eagle programs every day.
Correct me if I'm wrong. When I was younger, weren't they in somewhat danger of?
Well, so they actually were on the endangered species list. They a lot of times animals are classified as threatened or endangered. Endangered is a more serious one. So in 1949, DDT, which is a pesticide that got into common use during World War II, became commercial and was widespread all throughout the country between 1949 and 1973 or something like that. And during that time period, many birds and many other animals suffered from that because it's a pesticide that has long-term effects to it. And the eagle populations crashed. To the point that we almost lost our national symbol. In fact, there was only 400 nesting pairs in the lower 48 states. That's pretty bad. I mean, the United States is a huge country to have that sparse of a population. Our national symbol almost went out. So in the 1960s, the Congress started creating some endangered species lists that didn't have any teeth. Not until 1973, the eagle actually made it on the endangered species list as one of its top signatories. And it stayed on there till 2007. And in 2007, it got taken not only the endangered species list, but the threatened list. So it's completely in the clear. It went from 400 nesting pairs to about 10,000 by 2007. So its population has increased since the banning of DDT and other protections. Now, eagles are still under protection by the Bald Eagle and Golden Eagle Act, which protects our national symbol from being taken, feathers collected, or harmed in any manner.
Do you think its status as the national bird had something to do with it being taken off the endangered species list? A lot of species never leave that list.
You're right. And this is a success story because it probably its status did. I mean, it was quite an embarrassment for our national symbol to be almost wiped out in extinction. So there was a lot of efforts that went to it. But, you know, the thing when you protect certain species, like a bald eagle, a big showy megafauna, charismatic megafauna like that, you protect a lot of other species underneath it. Because one of the provisions of the Endangered Species Act is the critical habitat that you have to protect as well. And when you're doing those things, you're protecting a lot of other species that might also fall on that list.
So obviously, when you think of the bald eagle, you think of the white head. And that's what it gets the nickname for. But are there any other distinct markings or interesting sociological issues about the bald eagle?
Well, there's a number of good reasons why the eagle, I think, makes like our national symbol. One, it's one of the largest birds that you're going to find in North America. Female eagles, which are larger than the two sexes, has an 8-foot wingspan. Eagles can fly up to 100 miles per hour at a dive. They can see a fish about a mile away. In their talon strength is about 1,000 pounds per pressure per square inch. You know, that's pretty strong pressure for most birds. It builds some of the – I think it actually is considered the largest nest builder in North America. The largest eagle nest that was in recorded history in North America was 10 feet across, 20 feet deep, and weighed 2 tons.
How big was the bird?
The bird is just your standard bald eagle, but it was probably built over generations. This is a long-lived species. I mean, bald eagles can live in the wild over 35 years. So it probably lived at that nest and kept rebuilding, remodeling its nest over and over again. And then, you know, maybe its kids took over.
What about the way that they deal with other bald eagles, as well as how do they interact with other species?
Well, the bald eagles are, you know, have somewhat of a territory, and a lot of times during this time of year, you do see bald eagles kind of getting in scraps with each other along the shoreline, trying to hold out those nesting territories. During the winter months, when you have a lot of migratory species, you know, we go from a population of 150 bald eagles in the summer to about 300 in the winter months. During the winter months, they're usually a little bit more chill with each other. They tend to roost in large groupings, about 20 to 30 birds in an evening roost site. They do have some different kinds of social interactions with each other, but during that breeding season, they get a little bit more territorial. One of the things I think is the neatest thing is Walt Whitman called it the dalliance of the eagles. It's a poem that he wrote, where in January, male and female eagles will do their courtship dance. And you can actually see this on Kentucky Lake if you go on our van tours or our boat tours. But they'll fly as high as they can, and then they'll grasp talons. And as they grasp talons, they will tumble to the earth. And, you know, wings just flopping all over the place as they're falling. And right before they hit the water or the land, they split apart and fly away. During that time period, they would have mated.
During this month and this time of the year, are there any well-known parts of land between the lakes that you would recommend people go if they want to get a good look at the bald eagles?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to come see eagles at land between lakes is when we lead our tours, we always try to go kind of that northwest section of land between lakes. There's a lot of good boat ramps. For whatever reason, the eagles tend to prefer Kentucky Lake a lot of times over Barkley Lake. There's some theories about, you know, the winds and water and how fish gets pushed up against the shoreline. Also, the two big dams, their tailwaters, that's where a lot of eagles like to collect. Around the nature station itself, there's several nesting pairs of eagles. It becomes a wildlife refuge, so during the winter months, a lot of waterfowl goes in there. Of course, waterfowl is eagle food, so if you have a lot of waterfowl, you're going to have a lot of eagles in the area.
Is there anything else that we haven't spoken about that you think listeners would find interesting about the bald eagle?
Well, you know, we always encourage people when they go out looking for bald eagles that notice the other parts of the ecosystem around you. So you may not get to see an eagle up close. You may not get to see an eagle doing a cool activity, but you're also going to see things like the ducks, the 20 species of ducks that we might have here. Sometimes you'll get to see, a lot of geese, swans possibly, the pelicans, the cormorants. There's a whole group of ecosystems that's all interacting with each other. And if you take the picture as a whole, you'll have a much better time.